doing? Man, how great would that be? I get laid off. I get a severance. I jump in another company. Put cash in the bank. Aren't you great, Lord? Isn't that great? So on July 26th, I was laid off. And I went and actually several weeks before that, I asked if you'd put me on the layoff, which was a bit of a bold move. I didn't have anything in concrete for certain. But I asked. I was trusting in God. And oddly enough, on that day, July 26th, I even told my wife that it was probably the most excited I've been to go to work in a long time. Knowing that, all right, it's going to happen. Something else is going to come. And so I received my severance. I interviewed the design company. Everything was going great. Great. Until I got a call from my buddy. And this was for the latter part of August. And he said, hey, Sean, I've got some bad news. You interviewed fine. We want to hire you. Sounds good. But we're a small company, and they have less than 20 people. We made some hires already, and we would like to possibly look into hiring you in the coming year. And if you've been around businesses long enough, you know that coming year could be 2.5 years from now. It's like bubble bursted. Like, what? You know, that would have been great to know when we were talking before, buddy. So I don't just quit my job. But God had a different plan. You know, I can see how Charlie Brown felt when he's running up to take that punt, and then Lucy goes, whoosh. That's just how I felt. I'm like, God, we had something going. Our plan. This wasn't our plan. What's going on? And I realized, okay, it's not our plan. It's God's plan. It turns out God had something different in store. And by the way, this was a few weeks after I had talked with Pastor Greg about preaching this Sunday on the prayer of faith. No problem. I'll do it. Absolutely. God's got a great sense of humor. So as I started doing some studies and researching, I'd like to clarify a prayer of faith into two subcategories. As engineers, we like to do that. We'll break it down, give you kind of the boundary conditions of faith. We mostly know of a prayer of faith of what I'll call something that is not happening. Thank you. Have faith. Was that you, Teresa, or was that me? All right, good. I'll have faith. This will work. It's giving me full bars, that's all. Okay, a prayer of faith of assurance. This is when the outcome's known. When God says, so-and-so, this is what you need to do. You're a fool if you don't believe that. If God's come down and told you, that's pretty easy. You got things covered. Elijah had that happen to him. In James, we'll read here from chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain on land for 3.5 years. This is in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, I think, around there. We can read the story of what happened. This is around the time when King Ahab, horrible king, brought the whole nation into idolatry and, well, just continued all the junk that they were doing. Elijah had his big standoff with all the prophets of Baal. God was judging them for what was going on. God then told Elijah that, okay, rains are going to come. This was after that 3.5 year period. Elijah goes, tells Ahab, rains are coming. Elijah goes and prays. Ultimately, rain comes. Great. No problem. That seems pretty reasonable, right? God says it. He does it. He can have great confidence in it. Let's look also at Abraham's example. This is in Genesis chapter 12. For those of you who would like to follow along in your Bibles, I will refer to Abraham's story a bit throughout the sermon. So if you would like to turn to chapter 12, it's the first book of the Bible. Verses 1 through 5. Let's read from there. The Lord said to Abram. And Abram, by the way, is pre-Abraham, before God had his covenant with Abraham and he gave him a new name. So I'm going to kind of refer to him as Abraham all over, but Abraham, same thing. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. That seems fairly clear. You know, I'm sure Abraham was wanting a kid. This guy was 75 years old. He knows that's just what you want and you should have back in those days. If you didn't have kids, you just were kind of worthless. So you know that was on his heart. And God's saying, not only am I going to give you kids, I'm going to bless nations through you. So that's kind of like, sweet. That's great. That's good news. I'm going. I would go. Shoot. That's when things are very obvious. A prayer of faith of assurance. Let's look at what happens when things aren't so obvious. This is a prayer of faith of submission. When the outcome isn't known, it's hidden. There are two examples I'd like to speak about. The first is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says about Jesus, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Notice how he prayed. It wasn't, "Father, I have a burning in my heart. God, I want you to remove this from me. Take it from me in Jesus' name." That wasn't his spirit. "If it's possible. But not my will, let your will be done." He appealed to the Father for another way. God said no. God knew this was the way that you needed to be the Savior for the world. Let's look at another example. The leprous man. This is in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he'd spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." There were many people, I'm sure, in Jesus' ministry that he walked by that he didn't heal. This man just happened to have grace be set upon him to heal him. Jesus was willing. But notice how he asked, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Again, it wasn't, "God, I demand this from you. You should heal me, Lord. You're a healer. That's your nature." Jesus was moved with compassion. He didn't have to heal him, but he did. That man, he didn't and he couldn't presume that Jesus was going to do that. He asked humbly. It was simply God's grace that healed him, and he submitted. So where was I in my story? I knew God would provide for my needs. But needs, that's an interesting word. And we'll get to that in a little bit. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, we just finished a remodel where we kind of put everything into that remodel, expecting that life would go on as normal. Excess funds weren't in excess. And we weren't about to stop supporting ministries. We have ministries both here at Abundant Life and other areas that we support. And we felt that we can't shut everything down because we felt God's stronger than that. He's bigger than that. But that also meant that 6 month severance is no longer 6 months. It's a lot less than that. But that's okay. I figured God's going to take care of me. He's got this. He's God. What could go wrong? I was having faith. But my faith was about to be stretched. I did tell you I'm an engineer. And we like to analyze things. As I'm going through this sermon and looking through, I discovered two pretty critical elements of a prayer of faith. Can you imagine what they might be? Prayer and faith. Nailed it. I'll go backwards. Faith. We're going to talk about faith first. So what is faith? Let's look at this at a bit of a high level. Faith, one, is strengthened through our trials. We learn that from James. By the way, James is a great book to read if you want to strengthen your faith or you're struggling with faith. Hebrews as well. We'll go to a few of those examples in both James and Hebrews. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, yay, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance characterizes true faith, genuine faith. If you haven't gone through something, you don't have true faith. I tell you this until you've been tested. You need these trials. Perseverance has a way of maturing the believer. Think about Abraham. His trial was time in seeing his son Isaac born. 10 years after God spoke to him to have him travel to Canaan, we know from, it may have been sooner than this, but we know from his word, it was roughly around 10 years where he begins to doubt. He questions God's promise. God says to him after a battle, and he was, you know, he was probably feeling depressed. God said, I am your great reward. And Abraham's like, well, okay, here's the deal, God. The only one who can take care of my estate, I have no kids, is my servant, Eliezer. And that would have been okay. In that time, that would have been fine. You own the servants. They're part of your line. So, that's kind of like saying, God, this is where I thought you were, but I'm kind of lower that bar for you. I think maybe this is where you're going. God then says, no, Abraham, an heir is going to come from your own body. In verse 8, in chapter 15 of Genesis, we see that Abram's faith was credited to him as righteousness. It was at that moment it crystallized in him. He said, all right, I'm trusting you, God. But we'll see how his faith continues in a moment. Okay, back in my life. My future was absolutely wide open because all eggs, one basket. Great idea? Probably not. But with God, I thought that was. I thought this was where he was taking me. So this was like positive Sean. I'm like, all right, God's going to do something great. So I'm looking at great companies. I'm going to look at, you know, great jobs I'd like to have. Why not? God's going to take care of me, right? No problem. Oddly enough, everything resulted in dead ends. I had great connections. I had great opportunities. I had a great resume because of what God's allowed me to do in the past. I know this. I've hired many people. I would like my own resume. It's good. It is mine. So I like it. But everything fell flat. God's silence was deafening in my life. I needed strength. And praise the Lord, something that I haven't struggled with for quite some time is my daily devotion time. That's something that I do dedicate to God every day. But I needed to shift that into high gear. Because the second point I'd like to make is faith comes from hearing the word of God. I know that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What is the word of Christ, you ask? The message. His word, the Bible. It's right there. We can stand on that. That happens, our faith is increased because we try it out. We read his word. We say, okay, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to trust that his word's true. We see that it happens, and then we continue. It's this iterative process. But you must be asking me, and I'm sure you are in your mind, how should we approach reading the Bible? How does that happen? It's a great question, and I'd like to answer that for you. This is in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Hear me out here. Let me be a little bit real. Make things a little uncomfortable. Looking for it as for silver and searching for it as for hidden treasure, that does not, I would argue, and I'm not going to tell you what that means exactly in your life, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean reading a scripture out of the Bible, praying for 3 minutes, and going about your day. Right? It doesn't. If I told you in your home where you live, because I have a lot of money, placed a check for $100 million for you, all you've got to do is find it. Would you think about it for about 2 minutes a day? You're a fool if that's the case. I'd be looking all the time. And I don't have any work, so that's what I'll be doing. Right? Now, I don't know what that means. We have lives. We have commitments. We have families. It's going to be something specific to you in your walk, in your situation. But do you receive that? Do you hear that? Look for it as for silver. Search for it as for hidden treasure. We need to know God's promises in His Word so we know how to pray. Is it in assurance? Is it in submission? Has God given us promises specific to the situation we're dealing with? So how do we make sure we're praying for the right things? We know some of God's promises. A few here. He promises to bless Abraham and his descendants and the nations. He promised if we search for Him, we'll find Him. He promises love would never fail. He promised salvation to all who believe in His Son. That all things work out for the good for His children. He promised that we have no trials at all and life would be easy. Sorry. That's not right. He promised comfort in our trials. And He promised to supply our needs. There's that word again. There's a lot more, and we need to study them, and that's why we need to open His Word and read and receive from what God is speaking to you. So you're not standing on something that maybe isn't from God. Abraham had a promise. I mean, his was very specific. He heard a promise directly from God. He was 75 when God asked him to leave Haran, and he set out for Canaan. God told him specifically, I'm going to make you into a great nation, bless you and all people of the earth through you. I have assurance that God's going to provide for me and my family's needs. But needs may not be a home. Needs may not be cable, a cell phone, a car, right? Sometimes we like to think needs are kind of something that sort of makes us pretty comfortable. And I don't know what they are for you. But I certainly was scared what they could be for me. I needed to remind myself to combat my doubt, my fear, my uncertainty. Now, it wasn't wrong to think of the full spectrum of needs. And I think we'll talk about that later, what that means. But I was going way deeper than that. I'm thinking, what is going on, God? Because I didn't have a plan. I was looking for jobs now. That's the way it would work. I had a feeling something would stick. But I continued to get nowhere, to get no answers. And I continued to dive in deeper each day in my prayer time and my word. Why? One, wasn't working, so I had a lot of time. Two, I knew I needed to remind myself of God's promises. Do you remember what Jesus did? When he was being tempted in the desert, how he responded to Satan? There was something very particular of how he did. It wasn't just, God's good, I don't need to do that. He used Scripture specifically to address what Satan was saying. Learn that. That's how you combat Satan. You stand on the promises of God. I need to remind myself of the promises God has and His provision and confidently stand on them as I cast my cares on Him, because that's ultimately what faith is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. That's in God's Word, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The author of Hebrews tells us that this is what the ancients, for us, those in the Old Testament, were commended for. None of them ultimately received what was promised while they were living. Now, Abraham, he received a bit of the promise, right? He saw Isaac be born, but he didn't see nations blessed through his line. Abraham just saw the beginning of the promise. Now, I encourage you, read Hebrews chapter 11. It goes through all these heroes of the faith and what they had done. It's really quite outstanding. But see, Abraham saw just the beginning, and he struggled. He struggled along the way, and that's really why I like Abraham. I can relate to that. Because faith seems very simple until it's put to the test. Right? Now, we do have strong faith, just to give you an idea of where our faith lies. Take the soul, for example. We know it's there. I don't know. It's not tangible. You can't touch it. But we know we have a soul. It's It's there. We trust in God. We know God is there. Heaven, historical events. Abraham Lincoln's death. I trust that it happened. I wasn't there. But there's some, you know, a lot of books written about it. Some people who were probably there. Wikipedia. You trust in Wikipedia? Some of us probably trust a bit more on the internet than you should. But let's be real. This isn't easy. It ultimately took Abraham 25 years to see Isaac born and to see the start of the promise. And he failed in his faith along the way. After the initial promise, God reminds him again, about 10 years later. He said, nope, you are going to have a child through you, your body. And he's like, all right, no problem. And it's like, next chapter. Sarah says, hey, I'm barren, so it's probably God's not going to do it through me. So why don't you have relations with my maidservant? Abraham's like, all right. That seems to be what I should do. Because what he was doing, in real life terms, was God is here. There's no way God is going to make Sarah unbarren. Fruitful. Plentiful. I don't know. I struggled with that one in the first service too. What's the opposite of unbarren? I don't know. With child. No, that's not right. Anyway, he wasn't going to undo that. Abraham's thinking, no way. So what God must mean, if it's through my body, is some other girl. Right? So he had his son Ishmael through Hagar. He just rationalized, God's not going to do a big miracle, maybe just a little one. Can you relate to that? Not the whole maidservant thing, but the God, I thought you were here, but I'm going to step out here. I go through that all the time. Except my struggles aren't year to year or every 10 years. They're week to week. And they were week to week. 1 week I was feeling pumped about what God's going to do. Next week I'm just angry and frustrated by what has been turned down to me. Our temptation, or at least mine, and I'm sure yours, is to try to force God's hand a bit. God, you're not moving fast enough for me, so I'm going to go this way. And I'm pretty sure that's where you want me to go. And I'd like to say I was successful, but I didn't know what God's plan was. God didn't tell me, hey, Sean, you're going to have a job and it's going to happen at this such a time. I'm thinking, if I'm not doing something, I'm probably missing an opportunity. So I got to get out there and look. Right? But similar to Abraham, I began rationalizing by looking into jobs that were pretty poor for both my family, my ministry. Jobs that were going to be huge hours, huge international travel, maybe terrible commutes, whatever it was. I was taking a gunshot approach. Because I've had it. So how do we know God's will? I'm going to cover just a few of these really quickly, and this is for another sermon another time. Prayer and fasting. God's word and his Holy Spirit and the counsel of wise advisors. This is not your friends on Facebook. Right? Maybe they are, some of them. Not all of them. People who have gone through trials in their lives and have come out strong. They've persevered. You talk with them. You pray and fast. Many of you probably have never done that before. God's word and his Holy Spirit. God's leading. That's how we find the will of God. Now, for me, oftentimes my faith is questionable in that I'm very impatient. I'm looking at, I've got a couple months, God, until we got to sell our home and get out of here. So I'm making things happen. And I don't fault myself for that because honestly, I didn't know. Because I thought maybe that's what God wanted to do. But what I said to him was, God, if I'm moving in a lot of different directions, but please take me back by all means in the direction you want me to go. Because I still have faith that you can do the miraculous. What was important, though, is that I didn't give up and then you shouldn't either. And that's really big. Oftentimes we just say, you know what, forget it. forget it. I'm not praying. It's been way too long. My mom prayed for my father to receive Christ. It took 30 years. That's a long time. Jesus even asked the question. He asked the disciples, will he find faith when he returns? That is something that we all struggle with. And I believe firmly we will continue to struggle with until he returns. He says in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yeah, because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will we be faithful as we're being put through trials? Will we stand that test of time? Or do we give up? So let's review. We need, in a prayer of faith, to understand what type. Is this a prayer of faith of assurance? Is this a prayer of faith of submission? We need to strengthen our faith through the process. And then finally, this is the other element that we talked about. There's faith, and there's prayer, or what I'll call ask. Ask, believe, and act. We learned from Pastor Glenn last week, we can rely on God. Prayer works, but we got to do it. And we do this in two ways. The first, we ask, believe, and act with assurance. And let me explain to you a bit about what that means. In Matthew 21, verses 21 through 22, it says this. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. This is within the confines of the prayer of assurance. Because I promise you, if you believe and not doubt that God's going to give you $1 million tomorrow by buying a lottery ticket, it's probably not going to happen. The prayer needs to be a part of God's will. How do you know that? Very simple. There are examples in God's word that are so specific. For example, if you are praying for loving your neighbor, not only is that a promise, that's something he says, get out and do it. Just do it. Step out in faith, and God will provide the ability through his Holy Spirit for you to love your neighbor. I get it. It's hard. It's tough. Sometimes they're annoying. We never are. Prayer for wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says there, just believe and not doubt, and then step out in faith that God will give you the wisdom for what you're doing. Peter needed to step out of the boat. When Jesus said, hey, Peter, come out of the water with me. Jesus didn't like levitate him and put him down on the water and Peter was all great. Peter had to take that step, and I probably felt pretty stupid. It's going against everything you can possibly think is reasonable in your mind to do. Step him out of a boat into this water, but he did. When Jesus healed many of the people that he healed, not all, but many, he had them do something. Maybe it was stretching out a hand. Maybe it was letting him spit in mud and rub it on his eyes. But he had them do something. Sometimes we need to step out. We know what God's word is. We just need to step out and do it. The second one, let me go back, is a prayer of faith in submission. What does that mean when it's a little bit different, when the outcome is, or the answer is a little hidden from us? So too often we don't ask, we don't pray, because we don't believe in the miraculous. We're so concerned with what we know in the world to be true that we can't possibly imagine God doing something that is beyond the physics, the laws of physics, right? Anything's possible with God. And I love it when I hear stories at times when people are like, nope, God can't do it. And then God does it. Wow, I never thought that was possible. Well, yeah. We have to believe in the miraculous. We need to expect it. That's at this end. But we also need to be certain that we receive the confirmation from the Lord, an agreement in our spirit, and His word. Again, the lottery ticket example. You can't just expect the miraculous that God's going to, because actually there's scripture that God's not a big fan of the whole get rich quick scheme. We need to know His word and get an agreement in our spirit, but expect the miraculous. I've seen God heal people immediately. I've been privileged to pray over someone when God healed them right then and there. I've also seen God say no. And every interpolation in between. Sometimes it's due to lack of faith. Sometimes God timing. Sometimes maybe God has a bigger and better picture of what He wants to do than you do. It's okay to wrestle with the possibilities. We have examples of Jacob, examples of Abraham, where they're wrestling with God. God can handle that. As a matter of fact, it looks like He kind of likes it. But ultimately, we have to accept the entirety of the outcome. Here to here of what God can do. Of what God, will do. And then show it by our actions. Paul's example, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We all know this story well. He asked God three times, and what did God say? My grace is sufficient. That's God's nice way of saying no. Right? My grace is sufficient for you. You don't know what I have planned for you, Paul. I'm going to use you through this. Jesus' example in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked. God said no. We know of Abraham. Ultimately, he got his son, Isaac. Yay! I don't know. Sometime later, 10 years, I'm not sure exactly. But God said, hey, Abraham, I'd like you to sacrifice your son. I'm pretty certain that if God said when Abraham was 75 years old, I'm going to bless the nations through you. Bam, here's Isaac. Woohoo, Sarah says, I'm pregnant. Everything's great. If the very next thing he said after a few years was, oh, and by the way, hey, Abraham, I'd like you to sacrifice him. I don't think you'd get the same response from Abraham. Because what he did say after all of those trials, after waiting 25 years to see Isaac, he had faith that God was going to do something miraculous. I'm sure he did not like that situation. What parent would? Hold still, Isaac. Right? But he told his servants, I'm going to go to the mountain, take care of my donkey. I'm going to go up, and we both will come back, he says. Right there showing you that he knew God was going to do something great. He didn't know what. He just knew. It's like, there's no way God gave me this. He told me he's going to bless the nations through my heir. And he said this was the right way. I'm going to trust in him. Sometimes we may not like what we think we're going through and what we think God's doing. But ultimately, we need to surrender to him and his sovereignty. The beauty of it is that there's no one better to do that with. Right? Not a week went by for me when I didn't cry out before the Lord, literally cry out on my knees. I wasn't hearing anything. All the job prospects I was looking into, they're just dead ends. Something was going on that I didn't like or understand, but I needed to let that go. I needed to accept that God's ways were higher than my ways. And that's a tough thing. I I've got, you know, a beautiful wife, two kids. Time. A certain time in my mind when something's going to happen. But I did. Praise the Lord. It took me nearly 3 months, but I finally let it go. God won. He always does. Praise the Lord for that. I began preparing for any possibility of God's answer. That's in the miraculous. That's at the lowest of basic need. I'm looking into what we need to do to sell our home. What we need to do to move away. What we need to do, what I need to do to have a crappy job. Because maybe that's what has to happen. And I was okay with it. Ultimately, and I say that just by the time frame, God wanted everything from me. In middle, latter part of October, we've tithed on our severance check. Now, I had no thought in my mind that that wasn't going to happen. I've learned many years ago, I'm giving God His first. What happened was, Melissa has the checkbook. She was doing a lot of the kids' ministries, had to do that for both services in a lot of the weeks. She had a checkbook. We missed it. You know, it took almost 3 months to finally get that severance check out. That was on a Tuesday when it was actually cleared from the bank. I saw that. I do my Quicken. I see that. That Friday, and I think it was on that Tuesday, actually, where I got a call and confirmed that on Friday I'm going to have an on-site interview with this company. By 2:45 on Friday in the afternoon. Oh, and by the way, the recruiter for this particular company said, just so you're aware, after the interview, usually takes about 4 to 6 weeks to have a follow-up, you know, and then let you know what's going on. So I'm like, all right, no problem. Nothing but time. I'll wait. 2:45 on Friday, I was done. 8:15 Monday morning, I get an email and a call from the recruiter saying, we need to hire you. She said, I've never seen a review from five people that's ever been this good. And I've got to hire you. We need you here. I'm not telling you this, by the way, to say, I got the best review ever. Hear my heart. I know I'm stupid. Yes, I've done a lot of things, but I have done those things because I made an agreement with the Lord years ago that if I give my time to Him, He will take care of me and my family. I know my way of hiring people is to hire people that are much smarter than me so they can do the good work. I'm just going to be I'm going to help them do their job. I knew this wasn't me. This was God's grace on my life. His grace went way beyond where I thought things could have gone. And I believe, simply for me, I was willing to submit and accept any response from Him. I finally had peace in His sovereignty over my life. See, a prayer of faith and submission isn't believing really hard for something and expecting God to answer that specific prayer. It's believing that God will do what He's promised, and for us to accept the outcome, even if it's different than what we wanted. Expect the entire range. And this isn't a lack of faith. This is grace. God will lift others up. He'll have others stay there. That's just the way things work. But you got to trust that He knows the right decision at the right time to make, right? Sometimes God's outcomes is different because it serves His greater purpose. Better than what we thought we wanted. But we need to all get to a place where we're at peace over His sovereignty over our lives. And I'll close with this. Charles Spurgeon says, any man can sing in the daytime, but only a man of faith can sing in the night. Are you singing in the night? You know, my recent journey in this whole area wasn't very long. 3.5 months or so. Maybe about 6 months of total looking. It felt like a year. It felt like 2 years. At the end, in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got 2 kids. I've got a wife. I have no certainty as to what's going to happen. I've got to take care of them. That's when I'm kind of playing with myself, thinking I take care of my family and not God. Some of your journeys have gone on a lot longer. Some have been immediate. You pray and ask, it's done. For some of you, your journeys are still going on. Abraham's journey took him 25 years. 25 years to see the beginning of a promise. He wavered at times, but his faith was strengthened. And he was gifted with a blessing that now covers us all through Jesus Christ. Oh, one more thing. I did mention at the beginning that God has a sense of humor, right? My start date's tomorrow. You know, after first service, a brother came up to me and said, you know what the learning from this is? That if Pastor Gregor asks you to pray on suffering, turn it down. Said, yeah, good point. Nope. I'm taking vacation day that day. Let me be frank. It may not turn out the same way for you. It won't. We're all different. God moves us in different ways. But I know through my journey of faith, I'm a control freak. Letting God take care of my life without me knowing what the end is, and that's harder than you can imagine. For others, that might be very simple. It's really hard for me. God was waiting for me to let that go. And he's always like 11th hour with me. And I'm sure it's him, not me, that's the problem. Right? I would like to pray for you and with you. What I'd like to do is we're going to have a time where I'm just going to pray for you here. But at the end, we're going to go, we're going to have our offering time. And then we'll have our time where we sing a song at the end. And after that, I'm going to ask the prayer partners to come. And I would like you to step out in faith. To say, okay, I'm going to pray. Because I guarantee you there's something going on in most of you that you're thinking about, that God's been stirring. Sometimes you just need a little kickstart. And that kickstart, I know, I get it. I'm an engineer. I'm an introvert. Getting up and praying is like, whoa, not a chance. I'll go home and pray in my closet and I'll be good. And it might be. But what I'm telling you is, stepping out, God will see that. And that might be a great step for you to say, now is the time. I'm going to put aside. I'm going to stop this giving up. Or I'm just going to press in more to God's word. Whatever it might be. But we'll have some time for that at the end. If you bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you. God, that we can trust in you completely. Whether it be a prayer of faith and submission or in assurance, you've given us your word, and you are a heavenly Father that loves us so much more than we could possibly imagine. You promise you'll care for us, but boy, help us, God, to understand your version. Because oftentimes we look at the immediate, the worldly view, the temporal, and you mainly care about that eternal. Now, there are many times, myself included, where you bless us for the temporal. But generally, at least for me, I found, God, you do that once we finally understand what it is that you're doing and why. So, Father, I pray right now for folks who are in their minds, they've got things they're going through, and I know some of the needs of this body, and they're great. And God, we stand together. We believe in the miraculous, but we also accept what it is that you may do, which may be different. But we know that it'll be good. It'll be perfect. Help us, God, to have faith in that. And God, I'd also like to pray for those. Maybe they've come to church today and they don't know about this faith because they haven't actually accepted Christ. They want to receive the forgiveness, the blessing of eternal life, and a future in heaven with you, Lord. If you, as your eyes are closed, if you would like to receive Christ today, if you'd raise your hand. I see no one. And that's good. Either you are still thinking it through, or you are already a follower of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for that. And right now, as the ushers come, Lord, we move to just a place of submission to you in our finances. Fully knowing, God, that you are the one that gives us all that we have, and we just manage it. And so, Father, you've asked us to give to you, and I pray that as we do that right now, and as people are and go ahead and begin filling out your tithing envelopes, and certainly no pressure on anybody. Hear me out. I'm not trying to manipulate this time. But God, we trust you. And I pray, Father, right now that you would take these gifts. Lord, you would multiply them to be used both locally and abroad for your glory. And that, God, we'd have just a privilege to watch how you move. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So as the offering basket.